Hello and welcome. My name is Emmett Hoops, and I'm your host for Under the American Chestnut. Well, this is a podcast primarily about American chestnut trees, Castanea dentata, and today we'll be talking mostly about the efforts to bring the chestnut back, and specifically how to do so through the use of transgenic trees and maintaining genetic diversity. There's so much going on in the world of biotechnology. There's, companies like Monsanto have been demonized for creating things like a kind of corn that is impervious to the chemicals that Monsanto makes, and then of course Monsanto sells the kernels of corn, so they control the market up and down, and you can debate the ethics of that, but the American chestnut restoration effort bears little resemblance to that. As I mentioned in the first podcast, we are exclusively interested in giving a tree the same control that other living organisms have. In the case of the chestnut specifically, wheat and strawberries seem to have an ability to fight a fungus that kills the American chestnut. And this fungus, this blight, Gryphonectria parasitica, can be defeated by the tree, not killed. It can be, so what we're doing is giving the tree the capacity to fight off the infection. Now, that's something like hypovirulence, what some European trees have, but hypovirulence is not an option in North America. The transgenic tree seems to be our best hope for restoring the American chestnut. Here in New York State, the New York State chapter of the American Chestnut Foundation has been very active really starting the effort for a transgenic chestnut tree. The only previous efforts were in trying to breed the American chestnut with the Chinese chestnut to get desirable characteristics of the Chinese chestnut. It doesn't seem like that avenue is particularly productive, because the trees that have come from it have not, in fact, been disease resistant, and in some cases they don't have the other characteristics that we would like from an American chestnut. The American chestnut, the transgenic American chestnut, however, because it is a unique specimen, it is something that has been, it's a product of scientific research. It is a clone, so we have thousands of clones that are more or less genetically identical to each other. So the big job of the New York chapter, and I hope you, dear listener, would become part of this solution. The work of the New York chapter has been to plant what we, for lack of a better term, call mother orchards, which would be, say, you get, we could send out some seedlings or some chestnuts that you could plant, and let's say you have 6 American chestnuts. Now, these are not going to be blight-resistant chestnuts. These are 100% found-in-the-forest kind of chestnuts that you could plant. Now, you know that these trees are susceptible to blight, and they probably won't live past 15 years before blight gets them. That's just a fact. However, they will be big enough to flower, and they will be big enough to have pollen, which is important because when we get the approval for the transgenic tree, if you are a member of the New York chapter, you will get a seedling or pollen to use as you wish. But if, let's say, if you get a seedling, that seedling you would plant near your grove of existing chestnuts, and you would manually take a Q-tip and manually pollinate the calyxes, that is, the flowers. Of course, you could let it happen naturally, which it probably would if they were trees were in any decent proximity to each other. But just to be on the safe side, you would want to, if you had the pollen, you would want to do that yourself, presuming you were comfortable in doing such a thing. But the idea is that New York members will have a mother orchard of, say, oh, I guess up to 10 trees, or depending on the size of your property. But it has to be at least 2. And you would have these trees, say, in a circular pattern, or any pattern that you prefer. It just seems that a circle makes the most sense. And then you would get the transgenic tree to plant in the center so it has the best chance of being pollinated naturally. Now, as I said, the American chestnuts, the found in the forest type, are going to be susceptible to blight. Unless you live in an area where chestnuts are uncommon or were never found, because it's possible that blight is not yet there. But eventually, you know, it being airborne, it'll find you. But you will have a transgenic American chestnut that has all of the characteristics of an American chestnut. And by the way, the chestnut itself is gluten-free. Isn't that nice to know? The American chestnut that grows as a result of the transgenic effort in your garden, you will be getting chestnuts from that tree in about 3 to 5 years. And half of those chestnuts, and as it turns out in practical experiments, slightly more than half those chestnuts will carry the blight resistance of the mother tree. So that is, if I have a chestnut that throws off 40 chestnuts in its fifth year, that means I'll have potentially 20 seedlings that are going to be blight resistant. Now, the more you get involved with this, we can show you a very simple way to determine whether one has the blight resistance and whether one doesn't, and then we leave it up to you what to do with the ones that don't. I would plant them in the forest myself. But if you would like to be part of this effort, which I encourage you strongly to be part, you can go to www.acf.org/NY, and that will tell you about the New York chapter. And then there is www.esf.edu/chestnut. That's the home of the College of Environmental Science and Forestry in Syracuse, where this transgenic effort saw success. So if you go to that particular page, the ESF page, there's a lot of information on the transgenic tree, and there are contact email addresses so that if you have any questions, there are people that can answer your questions. Also, if you go to the page for the New York chapter of the American Chestnut Foundation, you can find contact email addresses for people who live in your district. So if you wanted to get seeds, or if you wanted to know more about where you might be able to find an existing mother orchard or membership possibilities. You could go there and look for the director who lives closest to you and contact that person via email. So there are lots of opportunities. If you're a listener in another part of the country, I encourage you to get involved in seeing what solutions work best for you. There is a complication to the restoration effort in the southern United States because of the existence of Phytophthora, which is a blight. Phytophthora is a soil-based blight that is the number one killer of American chestnuts in the south. It's even more, it's a very difficult thing to deal with, and it essentially means that in the south we have to first test for the existence of Phytophthora, and before we can begin planting the transgenic tree in the south. SUNY ESF is currently working on ways to work toward a dual resistant American chestnut. The one that will fight will provide resistance to Phytophthora, however, is a little bit down the road. So anyway, that's about that for this episode. That'll wrap it up. I hope that you can visit either of those web pages. And if you didn't have questions before, I hope you have some now. And you can get in touch with anyone on those pages who can certainly direct you to a place to find out more, if not answer the questions directly. So, as I said in my last podcast, keep looking up.